Hey, it's Flake. I had a store showdown this past Saturday, and I did pretty well. So I want to give you a little bit of a review and sort of walk through my matchups, my opponents, and how the deck performed, and kind of just run through the event as a whole, because it was really great, and I am so enamored with competitive Star Wars Unlimited. Let's walk through it, shall we? The tournament was held at 401 Games in Vaughan, Ontario, just a few minutes north of Toronto. Now that is unless, of course, it's between the hours of like 3 a.m. and 11 p.m., wherein the standard Toronto traffic will make that so that, hey, you gotta leave your house at like the break of dawn. Nonetheless, I did have a great time at the store showdown, which was run well, mostly on schedule, with a great roster of competitors, frankly. So the deck that I brought was hardly anything out of the ordinary. I took Vader Vigilance, Vader Blue, having tested exclusively with it all week against decks like Boba Fett and Sabine. Felt pretty confident. So I had a lot of private conversations with Guy Cohen, who won the 5K in Kissimmee a few weeks back, and he gave me some good insight about the matchups. Though the design goes to Guy and his friend George, I did tailor the deck a little bit more to my comforts and, frankly, my intuitions. I knew more or less what I was up against, my local metas and such, so we made some changes. Now here, I'm not going to say that I'm here to reinvent the wheel, but I did slap some summer treads on it, frankly. So, a little credit to me on that one. So I was suspecting a plethora of aggro. So what I decided to do is rather, I mainboarded in repair and cut the probe droids altogether. Guy's recommendation, frankly, was that tie LNs was where it's at. So slam those into the sideboard as a replacement for the probe droids. And I bolstered my control matchups with two copies of Forced Surrender, two copies of Restock, a Searcher Feelings, and a Spark of Rebellion. Yes, I'm going to pay six for that bad boy, but it is going to come in handy. Want to have a fighting chance against the Go Fast decks, and frankly was quite content with how that turned out, as I went a combined 7-2 against Boba Fett, Sabine, and Leia. So let's dive into it. Well, round one was, hey, against Boba Fett Green. What's funny about this is that when I was presented with the Boba Fett Green and I presented my leader and base, my opponent referred to me as one of the air quote lemmings that just followed trends. I had to actually mention that quote unquote trends are just another kind of way of saying meta. So, yeah, there was that. And I also have to explain that, hey, when you're winning and losing, there are no points for style, okay? So we're just going to play what we're comfortable with and what we think is going to win. Frankly, when they presented their deck and I noticed that it was Boba Fett Green, I kind of chuckled a little bit internally knowing that the air quotes lemmings would have all been on Boba Green for like the past month anyways. Regardless, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the game. So, my opponent was, you know, being a little bit cheeky but was overall a really good dude. The best response for me is frankly just to play well. I mean, if you win, that's really the best revenge, right? So, that's what we did. No major notes on this one, as the game played out entirely as I suspected, with me being up against the ropes for mostly the first six or so turns until, well, Big Van Vader showed up and began cleaning house, taking names kind of thing. One little remark about this matchup was that in game one, I had lethal on board on my turn, but I took the initiative. Why? Well, because I'm a donkey and didn't really compute that energy conversion lab is 25 health. I had my opponent at 23 with a patrol craft ready and just goofed. I apologized because, like, I don't want to make him think that it's BM or anything. I just said that I didn't intend to prolong the game like that or to sort of create that kind of situation. And to their credit, they're like, hey, I was there to capitalize on your brain fart for as long as I possibly can. Ultimately, though, we did get there. And we did make it happen. This mistake would have cost me the game, but what it definitely did was shake me out of my brain fog. It was game time, and I was not focused. So we addressed that then and there. So game two was pretty much the same song and dance, I wheeled out the restock and Force Lightning for two forced surrenders in hoping that maybe I can sort of limit their options by just frankly just having them discard cards. They were constantly having two to three cards in hand at all time, most of which were fairly threatening. I figured if, hey, Force Surrender could punch through with a nice Vader ping, I think we can get there and maybe force some really, really difficult decisions and at the same time, draw some cards. Why the hell not? So there we go. I never did get to play the four surrenders, but I would still consider keeping them in that particular matchup. Once Vader showed up, though, again, we closed up shop convincingly. It was a 2-0 victory. Not a bad start. 1-0. Round two was against ECL Aiden, and my opponent warned me that they were new and didn't know all the cards yet. That's okay. They actually asked for my patience, and I was very happy to oblige. This was a situation wherein, yeah, the game is still new. So you want to be very inviting. You want to be very helpful. And we took our time. My opponent was super kind, super awesome, and super good. It's a lot of supers. Game one was delayed by about 15 minutes because out of nowhere, we were setting up, and the judge just showed up and said, random deck check, you guys got selected. So we had to sit there for about 15 minutes while all the other gameplay was happening around us, just kind of staring into the void. I did have like three coffees on my way that morning. I'm not kidding you. Three coffees I had within the span of about an hour and a half. So yeah, there was a lot of nervous bathroom breaks that occurred. But still, we finally got to play and were granted an extension by the same amount of time, about 15 minutes. And game one went frankly swimmingly, albeit long. And this is where the issue lies. Aiden did a ton of healing, as she does, and well, it was ultimately punchless against my Darth Vader once Darth Vader arrived. He basically ran the table and pushed damage. I was very careful to insulate him against things like Power of the Dark Side by ensuring that I had a throwaway unit on the board at all times, be it a Stormtrooper or like a TIE Fighter or something. I took game one convincingly, but my confidence wasn't really set. I still was kind of like on the fence about how to approach this one. Game two, though, I sided in Force Surrender times two, a second copy of Restock, Spark of the Rebellion, and the Search card. So I went with 55, as I suspected my opponent was going to try to either mill me out or control me, and I needed options. I needed cards. I needed to be ready to go the distance in this game, so that's why we went down that route. Was the right decision? Maybe. I wish I had more time to prepare to make that decision more confidently, but we went with the 55. Unfortunately, though, things didn't quite go my way. I conceded the game when I realized, frankly, that anything I played would get removed, and my opponent had enough small units to really provide pressure. I could not find a super laser blast to sort of hit the reset button. My draws never came. I got poked to death. I scooped to see a third game. We had about 15 minutes left to resolve this, and if you remember, that was the same kind of extension that we got. So everybody else's rounds had come to time. It was down to us, and we kind of amassed a little bit of a crowd, which was interesting. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't mind playing under that kind of pressure, but it was just cool to have people watch the game. Now, there were no theatrics in this one, no sparkly plays. Frankly, this one went to time, and we both barely dented each other here. I think at the end of it, I had 8 damage on me. They had about 9 or 10. We weren't getting anywhere, and as ugly as it was, no matter how you slice it, it turned into a draw. My opponent, a gem of a human being, we went 1-1-1 in this particular matchup, and my overall record is 1-0-1, if that's how it's called. Round three was against a Leia red deck, and this is where I met Alex. Alex is a really, really great dude, awesome opponent, and I had to put a ton of practice against these go face kind of, you know, body vomit decks, just putting a lot of units on the board and just going face. I had put in a lot of work specifically against these types of decks, mostly against like Sabine style, Boba Fett style, but ultimately Leia was also an issue. It was a concern of mine, so I put the time in, I put the work. That's why we sort of mainboarded some of those repairs, right? My opponent explained that this was also their first event, but they played really well. My issue is that my main deck repairs really helped me stabilize, as there were a few turns that left me with an open resource, and I was so happy to commit that resource to just healing 3 damage off the base. Now, the game plan was always to mulligan hard for Childson when facing aggro. I managed to find him, and he stood tall as a 5-5 eating damage while I did my best to remove threats as they emerge. Now, once again, Vader showed Leia who her daddy is, and I scrapped one up for the big man as we basically scraped by game one. And it was close. I think I was up to about 23 or 24 damage by when all was said and done. But we got there. Now, game two, we sided in the TIE Fighters and three Devotions, wheeling out the Restock, two Avengers, and a Force Lightning. Venger wasn't going to win me the game, but Super Laser stayed in as a three of because it had the potential to actually just rescue a very dire circumstance. Now, Alex played valiantly, but Vader Blue just shrugged off a lot of the early onslaught and deleted units. Leia's ability to attack in groups made it difficult to quell that onslaught, but Vader swooped in to thin the herd. She does. Now, the most awkward turn was when Vader played Wolf on a turn where I had a hand that consisted of repair, make an opening, and I believe there was a vigilance in that hand as well. So I couldn't really do much. I also had a TIE fighter loaded up with a devotion. So I had healing out the ass. It just happened that Wolf came down with the on play effect of I couldn't heal my base that turn. So what do? We have to play a little bit suboptimally as we really Wolf shredded away a lot of the value of the cards I had. Problem is that Vader was on the board. So Vader swooped in. Was it Vader? It may have been Vader. Either way, it was either that or make an opening that killed the Wolf. And the following turn, it's just like, all right, well, now I'll do all my healing. Here's the deal. Minor pro tip. I have never lost a game wherein Wolf was played against me. It has been awkward. This was actually the most awkward Wolf has ever been, was where he basically nerfed all the cards I had going for me. But I was not afraid of it. Now, to Alex's credit, played very well at the end of the game. We actually had a nice little chat about strategy, about learning, you know, improving and such like that. And if I'm not mistaken, Alex is also a brand new Ice Cave Radio fan. So thank you so much to you, Alex. I appreciate you, brother. A great, great, great person. Pleasant experience. Finished that game 2-0 with a record now of 2-0-1. Moving on now to round number four. And we get some ECL Sabine. Which, for the record, I will say, Charmer, Doa, and myself are all on the same page here. Green Sabine is the inferior Sabine. It is cunning Sabine. You gotta trust us on this one. Either way, this was basically the deck that I was geared up towards and had to put a lot of practice into. Sabine Green wasn't going to beat me. So, I want to reiterate, putting the repairs into the main deck, anticipating a lot of aggro, really helped me out. So, my opponent was very deliberate. Took a lot of time with their plays, as you should, frankly. You don't want to rush your plays. I actually felt kind of bad because there was a turn where I was moving into the fourth resource turn. I had resourced. I looked at my hand. I had a fat stack of blues and a Childson just rearing to go. I actually deployed the Childson as a 6-6 before my opponent had even made the decision to resource their card. A big, colossal etiquette faux pas, and I apologize profusely. It sucked. I felt really bad. You should not do that. And I made sure that I apologized immediately. But at the end of the day, it's a 6-6 Childson in game one of a Sabine matchup. Like, I'm not afraid of Disabled Fang Fighter. I'm not afraid of Power Failure because those are all mainly sideboard cards for now. So he stood tall and just was there. The response in that case was dropping an ECL on their K2SO. Thinking they'd have a good clean kill on my Childson on the follow-up turn, until you drop not one, but two entrenched on your Childson. As soon as you figure out that they do not have an answer for a fat stack, big-time brick wall hero that you've got standing pat in front of your base, you're clean cut, ready to rock and roll. So we had a 12-12 Childson who was just getting fed units one after another, an absolute beast. So we were not worried about that. Since it was game one, like I said, we're not worried about those sideboard tech to defeat upgrades. Did not happen. Whew. All right, well, we won that one off of some good healing and a Childson that basically wouldn't quit. Now on to game two, where I did my standard flip, which was taking out Restock, three Avengers, and a Super Laser. In came two TIE Fighters and three copies of Devotion. The issue here is that while I knew exactly what I was going to wheel in and what I was going to wheel out for the sideboard. My opponent took a decent amount of time. In fact, I was kind of looking at the clock. They took 6 whole minutes to make their sideboard decisions. And while 6 minutes doesn't sound like a lot, that is about 10 or so percent of the game clock, which that makes it seem a little bit more significant. Either way, we did go into that game, and I opened up with an Inferno 4. Next thing was I slammed a Devotion on it and dropped a Stormtrooper on the board. And next turn, Childson? What the hell? Let's drop in a Childson. How about after that? Well, this next one was basically just a second Devotion on a TIE Fighter, and it was now swinging in for 4, and it was healing 4. It put in an incredible amount of work. It traded with red threes. It traded with all kinds of nastiness. It was just living la vida loca up there and keeping me in the game. The Childson bit the dust, but did his work until we got to a Vader turn where he started to basically take names, clean house, and shut it down. Hey, let's get there. Now, when all this went down, when Vader showed up and slammed the door, we took the win. It was all good. And at the end of the game, again, I apologize for the faux pas, but what I learned was that my opponent was unprepared for Vader Blue, not because they hadn't tested against it. They were unprepared because they were not familiar with it. So that's what all the sideboard thought processes were all about. You got to respect that. And again, we got it all done with plenty of time to spare. My opponent ended up finishing sixth, I think, at the tournament, which was excellent. A really awesome dude and a great player. So there we go. We ultimately got there 2-0 into this matchup for a record now of 3-0-1. Round 5 was up against the undefeated top seed, who, frankly, I will just say, is an absolute slayer at my locals. His name is Zuhair, and I know he listens to Ice Cave Radio. So, Zuhair, I'm going to be giving you your flowers here. And it's not just because you lend me that third copy of Vigilance every damn week. Thank you, buddy. All right, so Zuhair was playing ECL Boba Fett, but this is likely one of the best Star Wars Unlimited players in all of Ontario, I would wager. I'll spare the long-winded details, but we were in gamer mode as soon as the match began. We were laughing here and there, sure, but at the 30-minute mark, we were basically locked up 1-1. Game 3 amassed a curious crowd as we were, frankly, the top table. The turning point at this game, one of them, frankly, was I deployed a 6-6 Childson, and it got waylaid, and that is just a waste of a turn. Turn 5, deployed a 6-6 Childson, and it got waylaid, and that sucks so damn bad. My Childson got waylaid twice, opening the door for a lot of damage to just pour in. I managed to actually mill 12 cards from Zuhair. I found 2 fire sprays in all that carnage, and Zuhair, well, he was not pleased at all, but we were now approaching the end game. Zuhair had about 5 cards left, and I counted 2 change of hearts in the discard. Did he run 3? Maybe. I mean, he is cunning like that. Here is where the game was decided. So, with initiative and 10 open resources, with an Avenger on board, I swung into Zuhair to bring him to 18 total damage. He sacrificed a pretty meaningless card. It was like a crafty smuggler or something that he had on board. No problem. I was at about 15 damage. He had Bossk and Boba Fett Disintegrator on board. I had nothing on the ground. I had to go and take stock of basically the old adage of, are you playing to win or are you playing to not lose? And I decided I'm going to play to win. What I did was I claimed initiative, knowing I couldn't die to the board, and hoping I could just win with Avenger. A third waylay that I was so sure I had counted in his graveyard was not there. It was in hand, friends. So my damn Avenger got bounced back to my hand. I felt absolutely gutted. I wasn't dead, but they populated the board, push damage, and I was basically at the end game here, because if I didn't draw a miracle, we were going to be in trouble. However, I had not seen a single super laser yet, and there was about maybe like 15 cards left in my deck. So there's a chance, friends. There is a chance. Three of those 15 cards were super lasers. Can we get there? Peeled the first card, Stormtrooper. Perfect. Perfect. Second card wasn't a super laser. We did not get there. So it didn't happen for me. They were, unfortunately, all three of my super laser blasts were all holding hands at the bottom of the deck, as they do. It's all good. No hard feelings on that one. Zuhair won an absolutely sick match. I ended up losing 1-2 in this game with a final record of 3-1-1 and a combined record of 8-3-1. Not bad. Pretty happy with that. All said and done, here I am. I made the top 8, friends. Hey, we got there. Well, well, well. Here's the deal, however, friends. It's an or so I thought moment because, well, the prizes were paying out to the top 8. However, the cut was to top 4 to continue playing in an elimination bracket. I do not know why that was decided that way. It was advertised as such. I just didn't think to, you know, compute that. Nonetheless, I did manage to finish, wait for it, 5th. So I bubbled out. I managed to top 8, yet still bubble out. It is kind of like this weird dichotomy of happiness and sadness all mixed into one. I figured that if I get into an elimination bracket, I'm going in confident again because I thought I was playing exceptionally well, and I now knew most of what I needed to worry about. I thought I was going to actually get this done, and I felt really good about things. Didn't quite work out that way. So, hey, there we have it. I finished 5th. I took home 5 packs of cards, and that was it. I finished 5 packs of cards and a Mace Windu, but it's all good because that's life, baby. C'est la vie. We went home, I ate burritos, and I made a Lego A-Wing, so you can't complain. I got another one coming up this weekend at Harry Tarantula in downtown Toronto, so I'm hoping that I can kind of maybe run it back. See how it goes.